Okay. Thank you guys for choosing Weekly Politics today. It's been a while since I've uploaded again. I have an interview coming out soon. Well, not really an interview, more like a podcast I did with a friend of mine. The problem with that podcast is I was blind enough to do it on Zoom, and I didn't think about what the consequences of doing it on Zoom could be. So next time I do a podcast with someone or interview someone or anything like that, I'm gonna be doing it in person because Zoom has a lot of issues. So I'm not gonna be doing it on Zoom ever again. But there are a lot more important issues to talk about outside of what the interview is about and anything like it. There was an election night last night. And I know there were not very many states that had an election, but there was still an election night. So let's just go over the very basics and then I'll break down which elections we need to care about. Because I live in Iowa. Frankly, I care a little bit about who the governor of Kentucky is, but I don't care as much as I care about who the governor of Iowa is, if you understand what I'm saying. So, Virginia. There was an election in Virginia. It wasn't the governor election, it was the state and House of Delegates. And unfortunately, both the state, not the state, both the Senate and the House of Delegates have turned blue. So Democrats have won the Senate and the House of Delegates. The Senate is controlled with 21 Democrats and 17 Republicans, and the House of Dem De Democrats, the House of Delegates is controlled by 51 Democrats and 47 Republicans, but they still have a Republican governor, and there is no supermajority, which means if Glenn Youngkin thinks that what the Democrats pass is a bad idea, he can veto it. Unfortunately, this also means it is probably going to be harder. I'm not sure if he's able to be reelected, but if he is, it's probably going to be harder for him to get reelected. Just because the people elected Democrats. So Democrats are now going to try to pass certain things, and they'll pass something and they'll call it an excellent name. Like maybe they'll pass, I don't know, some sort of abortion bill that says you cannot ban abortion past 15 weeks or something like that. Glenn Youngkin could, is probably going to veto that. So what they would do is they'd call it the Right to Healthcare Act. And then they'd pass it and just hope that you don't actually read what's in the act. And even if you do, the majority of Virginians, I'm pretty sure, are actually for abortion, which is unfortunate. And there's a lot I have to talk about that in a little bit for a second, because the abortion issue is extremely concerning right now. So it's going to be harder for Glenn Youngkin to win re-election. That's really what this means. It's also going to be extremely hard to pass anything conservative because conservatives don't have the House of Delegates or the Senate. On the other hand, there's one good news. Two bad news, one good news, and one bad news. So the good news is Mississippi. They had a governor election last night, and Tate Reeves won against Brandon Presley. Tate Reeves got 51.8% of the vote compared to 46.9% from Brandon Presley. So Mississippi is still Republican. Thank you. We still got Mississippi. We've got that. It's every single state we lose, every time we lose a state, I just can't help but think, okay, why? Why are we losing these states? Why are we losing the House of Delegates in Virginia? Why are we losing the governor of Kentucky? What is happening in Ohio? What needs to be done in order to fix these issues? And it's really complicating, and I will get to them later. But first, we've got two more elections. One, this is the mad news of the day. The Kentucky governor. So Kentucky's governor right now is a Democrat, even though Kentucky is by large Republican. I'm pretty sure they are over 50% registered Republicans because they are a very red state. They vote for whoever the Republican presidential nominee is every single time. But they have a Democrat for governor. And the reason why is because a while ago, I think it was between 2010, like around 2012, I think it was. I don't remember though, but actually, I think it was closer to 2008. It doesn't matter when it was. The Republicans who were running the state at that time, they sort of messed up and screwed up a whole bunch of people's their retirement funds for their teachers and whatnot. They messed a lot of that up, and that's why they have a Democrat governor. So it's Yeah, but the good news about this Democrat governor is he's a respectable Democrat. He's not the type of Democrat you'd see in Congress today. He's a Democrat that's like, I mean, yes, I disagree with him on a lot of policies, but we still find common ground. That type of Democrat. So he's actually a decent guy. I would rather have the Republican who was running against him, who was Daniel Cameron. He was the Attorney General. I would rather have Daniel Cameron as governor, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. I'm fine with Andy Beshear as well because he's a decent guy. Now, here's the worst news of the day. So, Ohio. I most of the time go out of my way to not care about Ohio because Ohio has had quite a few presidents come from Ohio, which is funny because none of us know who any of them are. And the second thing is, the Wright brothers hated Ohio so much that they tried building an airplane to escape Ohio. So there's that. I do care about one specific thing in Ohio. That is, Ohio is a very red state. It went from a purple state to a red state within a short matter of time, between 2016 and 2022 is when that switch happened, similar to what happened in Florida. Now, here's the thing. Ohio is very, very pro-life, or at least that's what I thought. Extremely pro-life. After Roe v. Wade, they had a, well, after Dobbs v. Jack, so after Roe v. Wade was overturned, they had a law that said you cannot have an abortion if there is a heartbeat. The heartbeat bill, which Florida has, Iowa has, a lot of excellent states have now. And this is excellent. But here's the problem. Democrats introduced a constitutional amendment in Ohio that amended the Constitution to basically give the right to an abortion up until birth. And that's a constitutional amendment, not a law. They didn't try doing it the fair way, where you introduce legislation and you fight for it in the legislature, and then you run for the rep house or you run for the state senate, whatever, in order to try to pass that law. No, they literally introduced a constitutional amendment because in Ohio you only need a 51% vote to pass a constitutional amendment. So they introduced it. Ohioans voted for it. They voted. I don't remember what the exact vote was, but it was over 51%, so it passed. And now Ohio has a constitutional right to abortion. Essentially, depending on how you interpret the bill, through birth, well, not through birth, through until the child is born, through the entire pregnancy. And that's an issue. And this is where this entire abortion stuff just becomes, okay, what just happened? See, conservatives have been fighting for what seems like ages for one specific thing. We just want children to be able to live. That is the entire premise of the pro-life conservative movement. We want children. When there is a child in you, when you are expecting, we want that kid to have a life. And yes, there are problems with our foster care system. There are problems with how we adopt kids in the United States. There are problems with that. I openly admit this problem, but that doesn't mean we kill the child. It's murder. It's wrong. So here's the problem that we have now. We thought after Roe v. Wade ended, we thought that was the end. The entire war, the entire battle that we're fighting right now, just to secure the right to life for children. We thought began with Roe v. Wade. When Roe v. Wade was adopted by the US Constitution because of the Supreme Court, which it shouldn't have been, but because it was, this entire pro-life movement started. And we thought all we had to do was overturn Roe v. Wade. There is a much, much deeper problem than just Roe v. Wade that we had to deal with, and we didn't realize that until now. Why did Roe v. Wade happen? We have to look at this. Why did Roe v. Wade happen? Why did the Supreme Court go beyond its power, go beyond what it's supposed to do, and adopt some sort of amendment without a vote, without it's not actually amendment. It's more of a precedent. Adopt a precedent that affects the Constitution, despite there being no wording in the Constitution for an abortion, but yet the precedent affects that Constitution. Why did it adopt this precedent beyond its power when those people who adopted the precedent knew that it was not their job to do so? Why did they do it? Well, the problem is not within our power. The problem is not within, well, it's because the Supreme Court is too powerful. No, it's not. It really isn't. In fact, the Supreme Court actually doesn't have any way whatsoever to enforce its rulings. As a matter of fact, Andrew Jackson, Trail of Tears. The Trail of Tears, when it first began, was brought up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, no, you cannot forcibly move entire Indian tribes from one place to another tribe, or from one place to another place. That's not legal. You cannot do that according to the U.S. Constitution. Andrew Jackson ignored this U.S. Supreme Court and did it anyway. The Trail of Tears is a tragic thing. The Supreme Court does not have an insane amount of power. So it's not within the problem that we're facing right now is not because our government is too powerful. It's not. The problem we're facing right now is because our culture is too ingrained in pleasure. We like pleasure too much. If you have an argument with an abortion activist, and I know this for a fact because I've watched an enormous amount of debates between abortion activists and pro-life activists, so I know that for a fact this is almost always how it goes. The pro-abortion activists will claim that the baby is not a living thing, and then if you say bacteria on Mars is life on Mars, a heartbeat on Earth should be life on Earth, they will say, okay, fine, but it's still a woman's right. So they switch from it's not a living being to it is a living being, but it's my right to kill that living being because it's inside me. That's the problem we have right now, right there. Their second argument, the argument they make is really the issue. They don't think that the children inside them aren't living. They know they're living. Everyone knows that when you're expecting a kid, that kid is a living human being inside you. The problem is not that people think they're not a living human being inside them. The problem is the culture. Look around you today. How many of your friends are getting married? How many people do you know are getting married? If you live in a very nice conservative Christian area of this country, chances are it's quite a few, if not all of us. But if you live in, I don't know, New York, California, Oregon, Washington, almost any single state or a city, any single city, over 100,000 people, how many of those people that you know are getting married? And then how many of those people that you know are that are getting married are having kids? The answer is getting less and less every single year. The problem is not within the power structure of the US government. The problem is us, the culture. We need to change the culture. Yes, we needed to strike down Roe v. Wade. We needed to do that, and we did. Dobbs v. Jackson was an excellent Supreme Court case, and I only wish it went further, but it did not. And I can add to this later in another episode because it's unrelated to abortion. We needed to strike down Roe v. Wade, but there's more that we needed to do. This American culture we're facing, this culture of pleasure is not what it should be. Men are going around and doing things. Men today, it's best to compare this to the 1980s. Men in the 1980s are raised, and they're raised in a way so that they grow up, they get married, they have kids. They did the same thing to their kids in the early 2000s. Now, the problem is this. The majority of the kids from the early 2000s are growing up into a culture that is not what it used to be. These kids are growing up, and instead of thinking, okay, I need to get married, I need to have kids, they're growing up and they're like, I like having fun. Pleasure. I like doing these things. I want to do these things, but I don't want anything hindering or stopping me from doing these things. And so marriage rates are going down. Also, the religious part of this, less and less people every single year claim the Christian religion. And that's also an issue. It adds to this problem. So let's look at how we need to change this culture for a second here. We have Ohio. Which I thought was a very pro-life state. I thought every single person in Ohio was majority pro-life. It turns out that's not even close to being true. In fact, the opposite is true. And so that's a big issue. How can we fix this? How are we able to fix this problem? I really don't know. It's a very complicating question. And the answer is not just one answer. You can't just say, well, we fixed this problem by obviously only doing this. It's all we need to do. That was our mistake last time. Our mistake with trying to stop the abortion movement last time was thinking all we have to do is overturn Roe v. Wade. No, that is not all we have to do. There is a lot more we have to do to end this problem. To put it in very simple terms, in business class, something I learned, and this is, I know business is a whole lot different than politics, but the structures of how they work are very similar. So please hear me out. Business class. When we're working on a simulation, if we want to increase the amount of sales we have, increase the amount of profit we get, increase the amount of whatever, we don't just change one thing. We don't just, oh, well, let's just increase our advertising on social media. No, we do a lot more than that. We want to increase customer satisfaction. We increase the amount of advertising. Yes, we lower our costs. We increase the wages. We hire two more employees. We do a whole bunch of things in order to get one outcome. You cannot expect a one-to-one ratio. If you only hire more employees, your customer satisfaction will barely increase. That one-to-one ratio does not exist. It's more like a one-to, I don't know how you'd explain it, one to 0.25 ratio. You need to do four things to get one thing done. This is the same thing with politics, especially with this abortion movement. In order to end this abortion movement, we can't just overturn Roe v. Wade, which we did, and that's excellent. We need to do a lot more than that, and it all needs to be done at the same time. So let's look at the culture first. We need to continue voting for people who we know are pro-life in their personal lives, but who those same people do not go out on the campaign trail and say, if you elect me, I will overturn abortion in our state. And the problem with the reason why is if they go out and do that, they won't get elected. Democrats will not vote for them whatsoever. I guarantee that. And they will not get elected. Because the problem is not just Democrats, it's independents. Independents won't vote for him either. So we need people who are pro-life in their personal lives, Christian, but who go out and say, hey, this state has a few issues. I can fix this economy and I will vote for you. That is who we need. Someone who says, I understand your problems. I understand what they are. Our governor's doing a bad job, so we need to increase the economy this way, that way. We need to do this, and that, and that. They can say whatever they want, but they cannot talk about abortion because if they talk about abortion, they will lose the election. That's essentially what I'm saying. Talk about abortion, you lose. And I wish that wasn't true. I really do wish it wasn't true, but it is. So we need to stop doing that. Instead, we need to focus on just getting decent human beings elected while we work on the culture. With those decent human beings elected time after time after time again, and while at the same time we're also working on the culture, when the culture is finally ready to understand that children are human beings and should not be killed, and it's not anyone's right to kill their own children, then and only then can we start passing anti-abortion laws in states like Ohio or Nevada or Arizona or maybe even New York. That would be incredible. This movement, this anti-abortion movement, it's not a Republican movement. It's a pro-life movement. You can be an independent, you can be a Democrat, you can be a Republican, and be anti-abortion. That is what we need to focus on. That's the problem with the culture today, and that is how we start fixing it. So obviously, today's episode was a little bit sadder. If you guys don't know, I have a Twitter account or X account, whatever you want to call it. It's called Weekly Politics. Follow me if you feel like it. I'm gonna possibly test with doing videos on X because Twitter has really changed over the years. I mean, just think about it. Twitter was run, who was the CEO? Jack Dorsey, I believe, was the CEO of Twitter. He was they were a very pro-government. They had a lot of censorship issues during COVID, especially during COVID and before the 2020 election, definitely. And then Elon Musk came around and bought it for $44 billion. And well, I do admit there is a lot more right-wing people on there who don't know what they're talking about. That's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is you can go on there and say what you want without being scared that you're going to get banned or scared that you're going to get censored into oblivion because they don't have that anymore. So Twitter has become X, and X has become a platform that I am no longer afraid of using to publish content on. So yeah, X is going to be my number one marketing area now. So I'm going to be trying to expand my audience through X and possibly posting videos on there. I'm not sure yet. I still need to figure out how they all work and whatnot, how I want to set it up. But there's a distinct, I'm 74% certain that I will be using it within the future to grow my audience some more. But thank you guys for tuning in today. I will be trying to clean up that episode I did with a friend of mine and posting it on here. It's Zoom, so who knows how long that's gonna take, but thank you guys for tuning in. I'll catch you all later. Adios, and God bless you.